Good morning, everyone. Can you all hear me? Yeah, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll be reading from verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. It's been some time since we were here in 1 Corinthians 7. And if you remember, Paul had been addressing them on the subject of marriage and divorce. Remember that there were two opposite influences going on within the church at that time. One was that because God is gracious, then we can do whatever we like and he'll forgive us. And some of them used that argument with respect to marriage to disregard their marriage vows and get into all sorts of licentiousness and even to divorce their wives and perhaps trade them in for a younger model, using the present day car analogy, totally ignoring, conveniently, the covenant they made when they were younger and when they got married. Then there were the other crowd who saw that all that was done in the flesh was sinful and limiting when it came to their spirituality. And so they used that particular reasoning to deny their partners the love and affection that was their due, perhaps even divorcing them, arguing that without a wife they'd be able to devote more time to serving the Lord, but perhaps secretly hankering after the quiet single life that they once had. And you can see how both types of behaviour would lead to problems with regard to their marriages, never mind their witness as believers. We've got to remember that this isn't the main passage for marriage in Paul's epistles. He's dealing here with the negative aspects of marriage as presented to him by the Corinthians. And that his positive statements with regard to this subject are found in Ephesians chapter 5. But we're not going to go there this morning because we're in Corinthians. Here Paul is dealing with some specific problems and questions that have been raised by the Corinthian congregation, as indicated by a shift in tone at the beginning of the chapter, where he said, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote me." And now in verse 17, after addressing some of their marriage problems, he's going to reinforce the principle that underlines the whole discussion of this chapter. And that is that spirituality and happiness is not or shouldn't be dependent upon our circumstances. Whenever we say or think that if only we were in this situation or that that's different to our present circumstances, then we'd be happy. If only I had a different wife or husband. If only I didn't have a wife or husband at all, going back to the two previous contexts. If only I had a better paid job. Or one where I don't have to work as hard as I do. Or even better, if I was retired and didn't have to work at all. Carol and I were talking to Linda and her husband the other week, and apparently retirement doesn't necessarily mean a quiet life. The grass isn't, as they say, always greener on the other side. But it isn't, is it? It isn't greener on the other side, as those who've tried the other side have often found out. And when we think like that, which we're often tempted to do by our human nature, then what we do is put ourselves into some sort of emotional slavery. If someone, perhaps, who we respect does or says something positive for me or to me on a particular day, then I'm happy for a while. But if they don't, or if they say something that doesn't jibe with my idea of reality, then we take it personally, don't we? If things go all right at work, then all's well. But if things go pear-shaped, then I'm miserable. And if we're honest, these are all traps that we've fallen into at times. We've got to recognise that to the degree that we grant circumstances and people the power to make us happy and stable, or unhappy and miserable, then to the same degree we're enslaving ourselves to people and circumstances. Because as Paul said here, do not become slaves of men, in verse 23. For the believer, people and circumstances should never be the source of happiness and stability as much as is our relationship with God. Because people change from one minute to the next, don't they? But when we look to God in our lives, for our day-to-day lives, then He is the rock of our salvation. And salvation here is to be freed from being affected spiritually by our circumstances. He is the source of our happiness, even despite our circumstances. He is immutable. That means He never changes. And when we apply that thought and other doctrines found in the Word related to the permanence of our salvation and God's faithfulness to us, then it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. In fact, when we trust in the Lord in difficult circumstances, then that becomes a witness to others, both here on this earth and in the heavenly places. And some of us go through at times from pretty miserable circumstances. Who remembers Terry Waite? Anybody? Yeah? All the others, I bet you never even heard of him, have you, Matt? He was the envoy of the Archbishop of Canterbury, if my memory serves me right. And we're talking about 25 years ago, past now, since he was released in 1991, after nearly 5 years of captivity in Beirut. He'd gone to Lebanon to negotiate the release of Western hostages, but ended up as a hostage himself, spending most of his time in solitary confinement. And the only thing that kept him sane, that gave him hope through that time, was his Christian faith. And he said afterwards that the hymn that always came to mind when he was in that room on his own was "Our God, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." His God was the rock of his salvation in the midst of those difficult circumstances. Not just for his eternal salvation, but for deliverance in his soul from the negative effects of his particularly bad circumstances at that time. And we can apply that same principle, can't we? And we should, to virtually every situation in our life. God has called us, hasn't he, to walk as his adopted sons and daughters. He's given us his word, his thinking, so that we can learn to think like he does. Didn't Paul say in chapter 1 of this book, we have the mind of Christ? And you might say, well, it's okay for Paul to say that because he's not in my situation. He's not married to my husband or my wife. Going back to Paul's current analogy, he doesn't do the job that I do or live in the circumstances I live in with the problems that I've got. What did he say in Philippians 4, almost at the end of his ministry? And it didn't come overnight. He had to learn it. He had to learn it through all of his beatings, his hunger, his time in prison for his faith, even his shipwrecks. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, emphasis on the learned, that in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's saying that our contentment as believers shouldn't be dependent upon our circumstances. And we need to learn to make the Word of God a reality to us when things, not just when things are just fine, but learn to do them when things are just fine so we can do the same thing when things are difficult. And so in verse 17, but as God distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. We don't all of a sudden, when we first become believers, or even later on, have to try and change our circumstances. We have to learn to walk as sons and daughters of God, exactly where we are. We can learn so much from the Word, but it's only really put to the test when adversity of one sort or another comes along. Paul had to learn to be content in all situations, just as we do. And speaking from my own experience, I've still got a long way to go at times, as those who know me better than most can vouch for. And the Lord knows exactly where our pressure points are, and under what circumstances we need to learn to think differently. But sanctification is a process, isn't it? And it starts with the situation that we're in right now, from one day to the next. And Paul uses a common discussion between Jewish and Gentile believers at that time to emphasise that point. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised, although how that could possibly happen, I don't know. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Remember Job? I don't know whether he was circumcised or not, and it didn't matter. What mattered was his witness as a believer in the Lord in his particular time, and how he obeyed what God had revealed to him about himself and his ways. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" And we know the story about how the Lord allowed Satan to bring all sorts of disasters his way, to test his faith and his witness, and to try and get him to fail. Even his wife told him to curse God and die in the end. And I'm not saying that all that befalls us at times is from Satan. It's just the course of this world as we struggle. And especially struggle sometimes against our own flesh. But we are being observed from above, just as Job was, to see how we react in those circumstances. And I believe that's as much of our witness from the Scriptures, if not more, than that which is seen by men. Because even when we're on our own, no we're not, are we really? Not really on our own. We're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, if we're believers, as well as being observed by angels. And for some of us, they may even be marvelling at times at the transformation that's been wrought in our thinking by the grace of God. That's changed our character more and more into the character of our Saviour from what it used to be. Remember, one day some believers are going to be ruling over angels. Paul says that in this epistle. And I suspect it's going to be those who've had their thinking transformed so that they walk as they've been called, as adopted sons and daughters of God in his business here on this earth. Verse 20, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Don't be overly concerned about what people think and say about you. Because as we've said, people can change. And if you're living the Christian life, believers will oppose you anyway. Just like they opposed every man of God in this book. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. One of the things that seems to concern those who are serious about serving the Lord is, what does the Lord want me to do? How and where does he want me to minister? What is God's revealed will for my life? And I've seen pages and pages of this sort of stuff. And for the majority, the answer is right here, isn't it? The Lord is looking for us to walk uprightly in all of our circumstances and situations in our everyday life. He's not looking for some great outward show or commitment. is simply looking for those who will, through the study of his word, through prayer, and then the application of those principles that we find there, that are contrary to the way that we want to go, contrary to our sinful nature, and then to walk by them. Micah puts it beautifully in chapter 6. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And we can learn to do that no matter what our circumstances, just as Paul learnt. And sometimes we're stuck with those circumstances for a long time, or even a lifetime. If we live in a country, and there are many who do, where to hold to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is to take their life in their hands. Difficult circumstances. Paul, as many believers over the years, also lived in that situation, because he was persecuted and they tried to kill him, didn't they? And if we were in Paul's circumstances, or the circumstances of believers in Iran where to openly confess your faith, you just can't do it. But they can still do justly. They can still love mercy. And they can still walk humbly with their God. Perhaps we're in difficult or painful circumstances, even here in this tolerant society. We can still do justly. We can still love mercy. And we can still walk humbly with our God. We don't need to change our circumstances, our husbands, our wives, our jobs, our address, and the list goes on. Don't fall into the subjective trap that this self-absorbed culture of ours hankers after, to justify changing our circumstances, and say, well, God wants me to be happy, so I need to change such and such. We don't find that anywhere in the scripture. God wants us to be obedient, and to trust him in the midst of our circumstances, and look to him, not at our circumstances, as the source of our happiness. There'll be many situations in life where we'll endure jobs, bosses, people in authority over us, bad marriages, bad health situations, and so on, that are completely out of our control. And we might have to stay in that difficult circumstance for years. But God says here in his word that even in circumstances that we don't like, which we'd change if we could, then he is still with us. It's where we can still serve him and still walk righteously with the help of his Spirit who dwells in us. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave anyway. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. At the funeral service last week of Derek and Audrey, one of their sons, I think DJ, read out from a poem that his father had tried to emulate all of his life. And it was written by a lady named Marion Hearn. And it was entitled, Just As I Am, Thine Own To Be. Just as I am, young, strong and free. To be the best that I can be. For truth and righteousness and thee, Lord of my life, I come. Amen.